Well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to open the Word of God with you all. My name is John Reed, and I graduated last year from Indiana Baptist College with my four-year degree. And so I'm 23 years old, first year on staff at Indiana Baptist College, working as an administrative assistant, and also teaching some freshman courses, some music classes, and some English class. Everyone's favorite class, English. You know, I get to teach that, so I don't think it's everybody's favorite, but it's fun to teach. But I have a good time at Indiana Baptist College and appreciate what the Lord has done in my life through the college. I was born in upstate New York in the Rochester area, as my dad mentioned. My dad is the president there, and he and mom both grew up in New York State, the upstate area. So I was born there, lived the first 10 years of my life there. And then we moved to Indiana. And I got saved while I was in New York as a young boy at 6 years of age. And the Lord called me to preach when I was in Indiana, about 13 or 14 years old. And so I looked forward to training for the ministry. And the Lord led me to Indiana Baptist College, where I did train for the ministry and learned a lot of good things. And I'm still learning. I'm still studying, taking some graduate classes for a master's, working on that. But the Lord has just blessed in many different ways, so I'm thankful for that. We're in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and... My last year of college, I faced a serious trial in my life, just was going through a tough time, and the Lord gave these verses to me as a comfort and as something that I could lean on, and so they mean a lot to me, and I think they can mean a lot to all of us. Maybe you are familiar with these verses, but by the end of tonight, hopefully, they will be special to you as well. Philippians 4, looking at verses 6 and 7, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And with the Lord's help, I'd just like to preach to you a short message entitled, "Don't Worry About It." Don't worry about it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the verses that you've given in your word, Lord, of these wonderful passages that give us clear practical instruction, Lord, for our daily lives. Help us tonight. Help me as I speak to say only what you have me to. And Lord, help each person as they listen to your words in Jesus' name. Amen. I think all of us have had the experience before where maybe we were concerned or worried about something in our life. And we went to a friend and we tell them all our burdens and trials. And our friends, nice friends they are, they just give us the handy little answer, "Oh, don't worry about it." And we say, "Well, that's easy for you to say. You're not going through it." And they say, "Don't worry about it." And you know, it's true. God tells us in this passage, don't worry about it. The word careful has the idea of being anxious or full of care about something or worrying about something. It's the human condition to worry. There was a man named Earl Derby. He's quoted as saying that one speech, cost him two nights' sleep. One beforehand and thinking what he should say, and then one afterwards thinking how much better he could have said it. Worry affects us all. There have been actual studies by doctors and people who do statistics and such about the physical effects of worry. A British clinic, in an examination of 500 patients, confirmed that more than one-third of their visual problems were caused by emotional tension or worry. So it can cause visual problems. Dr. Leonard S. Fosdick of Northwestern University, he has proven conclusively that worry restricts the flow of saliva. Then, because natural mouth acids cannot be properly neutralized, tooth decay occurs. So worry can cause tooth decay, visual problems, and also is pertinent for us college students. A survey of about 5,000 different college students in 21 different colleges confirmed that worriers get the lowest grades. Okay, so that's a confirmation. So studies have been done on it. The fact is, worry is happening to all of us. And all of us, if we allow ourselves, can worry about something. I think it's easy for us to look around in our nation and get a little bit worried, is it not? You can get a little bit worried just looking around and seeing everything seemingly collapse. And although there's good points, it seems like it ultimately collapses. And all the good that we try to do, it seems like we're not winning. And we can just get worried. And sometimes we can look in our bank account and get a little bit worried. Like, whew, it's going away. And I'm going to get married a week from this coming Saturday. And so I'm very excited about that. My fiance has to be in Indiana. She's still in Indiana getting ready for the wedding. And I get to be on this long trip. It's not very fun, that part of it. But that's okay. But looking at the bank account, the funds kind of just keep going down, 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 you know, all the preparation for the wedding and paying for the honeymoon and all that kind of good stuff. So the funds go down, 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 and it could be easy to get worried. And all of us can get worried about something. We can look at our health. We can look at our future. We can look at our relationships and get worried. We can be full of care. There can be something in your life, probably something in your life right now, that if you let yourself, you could worry about it. And maybe you are worrying about it right now. This passage says, be careful for nothing. God tells us, don't worry about it. In the next few moments, let's look at three simple points taken out of this passage, how we can make the decision, I'm not going to worry about it. Look at the first point here in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. It's a clear command, number one. A clear command, be careful for nothing. As we said, careful means to be anxious or worried or full of care. It reminds me of the story of Jesus and Mary and Martha in Luke 10, where Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha. And if you remember, he was speaking and Mary was listening to him. And Martha was, the Bible says, cumbered about much serving. She was really busy, too busy really even to hear the Lord. She was really busy doing things. And then she was bothered because Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word. And so she came to Jesus and she pretty much asked Jesus, can you tell Mary to help me? Because I'm trying to do this and she's just sitting there listening to you and not helping me. So can you please tell her to stop listening to you and help me? So pretty much that's what she said. And Jesus answered and said unto her in Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. There's our word. Full of care. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Isn't that us? Careful and troubled about many things. If we allow ourselves, we can be so troubled and so worried about so many different things. And then Jesus said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We tend to worry about many, many things, just like Martha. We tend to worry and be careful and anxious and hoping things are going to work out okay and get it all twisted up in knots and getting stomach ulcers because we're worrying. There's a clear command. Be careful for nothing. No worries. No exceptions. Number two, we have a blessed alternative. This reminds me of when you take a toy from a child and you say, all right, give me that toy. It's best if you have another toy that's just as good or better. Or just another toy. It works for a kid. And you say, hey, look at this. And then you take what they have from them and you give them a new toy. It's a silly illustration, but it's kind of what God does for us here. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it, but do this instead. And he gives us an alternative. And it's a blessed alternative. It's a great alternative in verse 6 there. But in everything. Again, no worries and no exceptions. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God gives us an alternative to our worries. What's the alternative to our worries? Very simply, it's prayer. Prayer is a very interesting thing because God knows everything. And he knows everything about our life and everything we could be concerned or worried about. God knows it all. But he tells us to pray. Why do we need to pray if God already knows it all? Why doesn't he just take care of it for us? You know why? Because God needs us to focus in our lives on trusting in him. You know, God responds to our faith. And God knows everything and he can do everything. But he's not going to do it for us unless we trust in him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We need to cast it on Jesus Christ. I can't take care of this, but Christ, just take care of it. Let's look at this idea of faith in Jeremiah 17. If you would turn to Jeremiah 17, this is the idea of faith rather than worry. Jeremiah 17, start in verse 5. Jeremiah 17, in this passage, the Bible contrasts someone who doesn't trust in God and then someone who trusts in God. And he gives us a picture using nature to contrast this. Look at verse 5, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He pronounces a curse on someone who trusts in man instead of the Lord. And trusting in man can be someone else or can be trusting in yourself. But trusting in man, there's a curse on that. And he says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. What's a heath? A heath is a desert plant. Maybe like a cactus. You can imagine a cactus in the desert of Arizona or somewhere out west. A desert, that's like what the heath is. He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. So this is like a desert plant. Over here, planted in the desert, like a cactus. It doesn't see any water. It can barely stay alive. It's just grasping for the little bits of moisture it can catch. And it might be raining somewhere else in the world. Maybe even just a few hundred miles away, it's raining. But this heath in the desert, this desert plant, doesn't see any of that good because he's in the desert. That's what the person who trusts in man is like. He's like that desert plant that doesn't see any good. If you look in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Just like there's a curse on the man who does not trust in the Lord, there's a blessing on the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Okay, so you have the desert plant over here. Now imagine over here a tree that's by a river, and the river's flowing by, and it's a deep river, and this tree is planted right by the river. And I think all of you probably know that trees have big root systems. They're very extensive, and they may go hundreds of feet this way, maybe 50 feet this way, and feet this way, way out this way. And you probably know that if you try to dig up a bush, even just a landscaping bush in your landscape, if you start digging it up, it's going to take several hours possibly, or you're going to have to do a lot of chopping real quick to get that bush out. And that's just a bush. But a tree has a very extensive root system. Well, its roots are in the river. They go down, 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 and they go into the river. So even when the rain stops, maybe the river's going down, 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 but it's still flowing a little bit. All the nutrients and water that the tree needs are still in the river. And its roots are underneath the river. It's still getting the water and the nutrients it needs. And that is what the man is like who trusts in the Lord. You could be a desert plant by trusting a man. Or you could be a man who trusts in the Lord or a woman who trusts in the Lord and is like this fruitful tree by the river. Look at the rest of verse 8. Her leaf shall be green. And then look at the next phrase, and shall not be, what's the next word? Careful. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. A Christian who decides, I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I'm not going to worry. They're not going to be anxious or worried in the time of drought, when a time really comes where everyone else could be worried and where you really could be worried, but you're trusting in the Lord. And you're still bearing fruit. You're like an apple tree by the river that's still bearing apples even when there's no rain because your roots are in the river. That's what faith is. It's trust in the Lord. And back to Philippians 4 again. We need to make the decision to obey God's clear command. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we pray. And when we pray, we're telling the Lord, I need your help. And we're focusing our faith on the Lord. I need your help. I can't do this myself. We're placing our trust in God. But this verse also describes what kind of prayer we need to have. Look at verse 6 again. What kind of prayer do we need to have? In everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication. What does that mean? And I looked up the word supplication, and very simply, it can mean entreaty or humble and earnest prayer and worship, or petition, request. It's an earnest request. It's asking very intently. And when I think of this, I think of a young child that maybe wants an ice cream cone. And they come to their parent and they say, maybe, Daddy or Mommy, can I have an ice cream cone? And it's at the most inconvenient time. The parent says, I don't think right now. But for whatever reason, the child really wants an ice cream cone, and they want it right now. And they say, please, can I have an ice cream cone? And the parent says, I don't think so right now. I'm really busy. I can't do it right now. And the child's like, please, can I have an ice cream cone? Please, can I have an ice cream cone? And, you know, it grabs the parent's card, and they start, you know, please, can I have an ice cream cone? And guess what that parent does? They go to the ice cream store, and they go to the freezer, and they pull out a cone out of the closet, and they make an ice cream cone, and they give it to their child, right? Because that child is just pleading earnestly. That's how God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray like a little child that says, God, please, will you answer my prayer? We're worried about something. We're very concerned. And we decide, I'm going to stop being worried. I'm just going to ask God intently. I'm going to petition him. I'm going to earnestly pray. God, please, will you care for this need? That's how God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray earnestly. Sometimes we're not like that. Sometimes we stop praying. We don't just keep praying. The Bible talks about in James 5:17 a man named Elias. He says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had the same things happen to him that we have happened to us. The same kinds of things, the same kind of feelings that we have. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He prayed, God, please, earnestly, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Could you imagine asking God, Lord, please help it not to rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, and God answer your prayer and not let it rain? Well, this is a man just like you and just like me who prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and God answered his prayer. That's how God wants us to pray. If you would, take your Bibles with me again and turn to 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13. This passage reminds me of our prayer lives, my prayer life, probably way too often. 2 Kings 13, a short story in the Bible about a king in the Old Testament. Look in verse 14. The prophet Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness wherever he died. So in 2 Kings 13, verse 14. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Okay, so the Syrians, horrible enemies to God's people. And the prophet just said, Okay, that's the sign that you're going to destroy your enemies, pretty much. You're going to consume your enemies. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He stopped. So he took three arrows, and he shot one, and he shot another, and he shot another, and he still had some arrows, but he didn't keep going. He just shot three times, and then he stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. He was very angry, and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria, till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Doesn't that remind you of our prayer lives? We pray, and then we pray. And then we pray, and then we stop. And then we wonder why our prayers aren't answered, because we stopped. And then we wonder why some of our prayers are answered, but then some are not, because we stop. God wants us to ask him earnestly, like the child needing an ice cream cone, Please, God, will you answer my prayer? Don't be worried, just pray. Earnest prayer. If you look back at Philippians 4, not only earnest prayer, but thankful prayer. It says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants you to say thank you when you pray. God wants you to say thank you when you pray. How many of you have done something nice for someone and you didn't hear anything from them? And you kind of wonder, I wonder if they noticed it. I wonder if they appreciated it. I don't know. They didn't say anything. Maybe some of you have done something nice for someone, and they came and just told you, thank you, I really appreciated that. You know, there's nothing like a thank you. Someone could give you $100, and it wouldn't be the same as them telling you thank you. Someone could maybe say something else, but not say thank you, and just like, wow, you're impressive, but not say thank you, and it wouldn't mean the same thing. But when someone comes to you and says, thank you, I really appreciated it, it means the world, doesn't it? It means the world to God. When you tell him thank you, God has done so much for us. If you think back on your life, and although some of us maybe have had hard lives, maybe I haven't had a hard life, I haven't had to experience that, but some people do have hard lives. But guess what? There's still some ways that God has done great things for you that you can be thankful about. And when you pray to the Lord, you need to tell him thank you for what you've done. Thank you. God wants us to pray earnestly. Please, God. He wants us to pray thankfully. Thank you, God. God wants us to pray. There's a clear command, be careful for nothing. Although we can be worried, God says, be careful for nothing. There's a blessed alternative, and it's prayer. It's believing God, placing our trust in God by praying to him and asking him to take care of our worries. And then there's a sure result. Look in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we decide, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to pray, God gives a sure result, and it's the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace is the same peace that Jesus had when he was in the ship. And if you remember, the winds and waves were tempestuous, and there was a storm on the sea. And Jesus was asleep on a pillow. How can a man be asleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm? But Jesus was asleep on a pillow. You know what it is? It's peace, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It's that peace that originates with God. This is a peace that passes all understanding. You cannot, as a human being, even fathom it. There will be some things about your life that you will have total peace about, that everyone else looking at your life is worried about. And they can wonder, how do you have peace in this situation? I don't know. I just trust the Lord and I have peace. You know, it's peace that passes understanding. And that can be yours if you decide, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to pray. Peace. And it's a peace that keeps. It guards your hearts and minds. Sometimes our minds can get in a real flurry. And we think, well, what if this happens? And if this thing happens, then this will happen. And if that happens, then this will happen. And our whole mind and heart can get all twisted up in knots and get worried times 1,000 because we're thinking this, if this, then this, and if this, then this. What we need is God's peace to guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. The responsibility is ours. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. It's just a direct command. Be careful for nothing. The blessed alternative. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are you worried about anything tonight? If you think in your life, just anything that you're worried about, anything that you're a little bit anxious about, anything you're full of care about, make the decision. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to trust that God will take care of it. You'll be like the tree by a river. Even when bad things all around you are happening, your leaf is going to be green. You're going to be bearing fruit still because God's going to be taking care of you. God has all the nutrients you need. God has the whole thing figured out, and he will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus if you simply make the decision, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to pray. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you that it's clear, and thank you that it helps us, Lord, through our worries. Lord, we can be worried about so many different things, just as Martha was. But help us this week and throughout our lives, as we encounter things that we're worried about, help us, Lord, to truly turn them over to you. Help us truly to trust in you and allow you to give us that peace that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, we'll turn over to you.
Don't do it. Good message. And I asked who was going to preach tonight. And they looked at each other. All three of these guys here looked at each other and they picked me up. Preach a good message to us tonight. Thank you for that. Amen. Well, I think we should sit a little bit. What do you think? We got watermelon, all right? So if I can keep you here for watermelon, that'd be fine. Do that outside here in the parking lot. Cut it up, get nice watermelon before you're back home tonight. All right, but I think we should sing. Just play about anything, right? What song is good? It's His Eyes on the Sparrow. Very nice. Beautiful song. And how about It Is Well With My Soul, 417. You know, instead of worrying, It Is Well With My Soul, number 417. Let's stand and sing, all right?
When he is like a
control the bliss of this glorious life. My sin not in part, but the whole, all of it, was taken care of on that cross. So you don't need to leave here at all wondering whether you're saved or not, if you trust in Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe there's something left that I need to do yet. No, not in part, but the whole, He paid for it all.
Thank you.
Brothers.
Yeah.